This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Just after lunchtime Eastern, the white smoke emerged from above the Sistine Chapel, indicating there was an election and a pope would be named. And then the announcement surprised a lot of people. An American-born, Robert Francis Prevost, who is now Pope Leo XIV, and joining us from the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh, the very Reverend Joseph McCaffrey, better known as Father Mac, who is a pilot and FBI chaplain and the regional vicar for the diocese, former pastor of Saints John and Paul and up in Lawrence County at Holy Spirit. Father, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. It's from Paul. It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Just curious to know where you were when the smoke emerged and then when the announcement was made.
Well, I was actually driving. I was on my way. I just finished a meeting, and I was on my way to another meeting at the diocese, and I got the phone call from the person who was running the meeting, Dr. Richard, that, hey, there was white smoke, and we're canceling the meeting. We're going to do a Zoom later after we see who comes out on the balcony. So I jumped in my car, and I raced home and to turn the television on to see, and when the new Pope, Pope Leo, walked out onto the balcony, it just reminded me of John Paul II. When he came out, he actually looked a little bit to my eyes like him. He reminded me of him. And then when it was announced that he was an American, I thought, well, this is more shocking than when a Polish man became Pope, because we just never expected it would be an American.
I heard the announcement, Father Mac, on the radio, you know, what they say in Latin, and I didn't understand. And I didn't hear any further commentary. So when I got home moments later, I ran upstairs and turned the television on, and he was just coming out on the balcony at St. Peter's, and I thought to myself, who is this person? And then they started talking about that he was from Chicago. I couldn't believe my ears.
Yeah, I couldn't either. I was just dumbfounded. But I had heard about him. And of course, when he was spoken of, it was always dismissed. But when we really look at his background, what caused me to really think was he had to get at least 89 votes, right, Paul? I mean, wasn't
right.
That to be the right? So he probably got more than that. But when you consider that many cardinals, after all this time of discernment, looking among themselves, saying, who can navigate our future here? And when you really look at his life experience, you say, well, they picked the right person. And you know, this is the other thing. You can't, like when they talk about his childhood and everything, and being teased about becoming a pope. That's not something that you can set your goal on. Oh, I'm going to become pope.
Good
you
point.
You can't do that.
I think his brothers, there's a couple of great clips from his family who were just absolutely stunned. And then they said, yeah, we always joked, yeah, you'll be pope someday.
You know, his rise to the papacy was lightning fast. He became a cardinal, I think, only a couple of years ago, and was only recently called to the Vatican.
True, true. And so it just shows the divine providence in it all. And I'm sure that has his head spinning, too. Like, he could have never imagined that this was happening. It was kind of a whirlwind event here in his life. And the other thing I think is, you know, he was in charge of naming bishops. And so, you know, there's been a lull in that happening. And we have so many bishops throughout the world that are waiting for reinforcements. And he may move more quickly on that, being that, you know, he knows what's going on with that, where another person would come in and they'd have to learn what it was all about. But he's got some of that in his background already.
Bottom line, Father Mac, what are you hoping this will do for our church here?
Well, I'm hoping it accomplishes his goal of unifying people and of bringing peace, because we all know distress on many, many levels, and just trying to bring a greater sense of peace and respect for one another. I think his choosing of his name, as many has commented, is pointing to the direction of a greater respect for humanity and people of all stripes. And I liked how he spoke of a bridge and bringing us together. I think it was beautiful, too, that he concluded with praying to Our Lady. The Blessed Mother, one of the most beautiful symbols of her is the full moon and that light of the moon. But the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun, which is ultimately Christ himself. So in that symbolism, and I think that's his role, too. It's not so much about him, but him leading us to Christ, and that's where we will find our peace and our unity. And I think he certainly has all the human gifts to be able to do that, and we certainly want to continue to pray for him and in that goal and cooperate with his leadership. That's the other thing. You know, so oftentimes I heard some commentators, even Catholic commentators, right away trying to anticipate and criticize and all that, and I said that how can you do that? We're about trying to bring people together and work together for the ultimate goal of peace and unity. Let's each do our part. And I am very hopeful. I think he comes with a great qualifications and gifts, and primarily a deep spirituality. And you can see that. And that's at the heart and the strength of it all.
Father, one thing I have heard and read about now Pope Leo XIV is that he's a good administrator. And I understand that that's necessary right now for a leader of the church, because there are some financial challenges to address.
Yes, you know what, that is so true in the role of a priest or pastor. And I noticed even among our priests, they have a heart for sacramental ministry. They have a heart for pastoral ministry, very much in the spirit of Saint Francis and Pope Francis, but there is the side of things that we don't always want to do or get to, and that is the administrative part of it. That's part of the job in order to have things work ultimately for the goal. So we do have to have the discipline to be able to deal with the administrative aspects. And when you don't do that, when you don't do the whole job, the goal suffers. And so it's good that he has that gifts, and it's good that he will be able to help others to do their part in that. You know, in the Vatican, many people are charged with administrative tasks, and whether they're doing it well or not, it does make a difference.
That's why God made CPAs. Father Mac.
Yeah, true. And using people and their talents, being able to share the load, that's important.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time this morning. I know you're on your way to say Mass. Thank you.
Well, and we're going to say Mass of Thanksgiving right now at St. Alexis. Yes.
All right. Appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless. Thanks for having me.
Father Joseph McCaffrey, who is the Vicar of the North in the Catholic Diocese. Well, in the midst of the excitement for millions around the world, when the white smoke came out of the stack at the Sistine Chapel, shortly after that, I got an alert. Pirates have relieved Derek Shelton of his duties and then named bench coach Don Kelly as the manager for at least the rest of this season. And I first person I thought of is, boy, I'd love to hear what Jim Leland has to say. Hall of Famer with the Pirates, MLB, and our Lifetime Achievement Awardee with our hometown heroes. Skipper, good morning.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I was very, you know, I'm sensitive to a man lost his job, but also when I heard who they were putting in there, I thought, well, Don Kelly, somebody that knows him as well as anybody when it comes to baseball is you. I mean, he played for you in Detroit and 585 games in Major League Baseball. He had an imprint.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And like you said, it's mixed emotions, really, obviously, because I was close to Derek, and he gave his heart and soul to the city and the club and everything. Things just didn't work out. We're big boys. We understand that's part of the business. So, you know, somebody was going to get the job, and certainly you're glad that a guy like Donnie Kelly is going to get an opportunity. I think he's been waiting for this opportunity, and here we go. We'll see how it works out.
Do you remember the first day you managed at the major league level?
I do. It was obviously right here at Three Rivers Stadium. Right. We opened up against the Mets and Doc Gooden in 1986. So it was a pretty tough chore. We were facing Doc Gooden our first game. But, I remember it. But the one big difference, I think, is, and I don't mean this to sound wrong, the one big difference was I had 11 years of minor league experience as a manager, and Donnie's really coming in with no experience as a manager from the standpoint of managing the minor league. So it's going to be a little learning curve for Donnie. There's no question about that. I think he's very capable. And at the end of the day, the players are going to have to play better. It's that simple. I mean, you can talk about, you know, the manager all you want, but at the end of the day, you know, this group of players is going to have to play better than they have up to this point, or it's probably not going to make a lot of difference. So I think Donnie's input and his enthusiasm, his excitement is going to rub off on the players. I think good things got a chance of happening. But at the end of the day, these players are going to have to play better.
Jim, I'm curious to know what advice you're going to, if you have already, or you're going to give Donnie Kelly about the first things he could do that would be effective as a manager.
Well, that's a great question. I did talk to him twice yesterday. And of course, I keep my nose in my own business, so I'm not going to tell somebody. You know, I did make some suggestions to him yesterday, but the biggest suggestion was to be yourself, be Donnie Kelly. You know, don't try to be somebody that you're not because you're in this position now. So just let you, you know, one of the reasons you got this job is your knowledge of the game and your personality and everything. Make sure that you're that same guy when you walk into that clubhouse. And walk in there the same every day. That's very important. And I did tell him a couple things about, you know, a little bit about strategy, about...
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
For a manager, like the Pirates have struggled offensively, obviously. So when you struggle offensively, sometimes the manager has to get involved and maybe hit and run a little bit more, maybe be a little bit more aggressive. and try some things. When the club's hitting real good and your team's, you know, producing runs and everything, you can sit back and watch them. And that's what I did. If my club was hitting good, I left them alone. I didn't bother them. But if we were struggling to score runs, you had to be a little more creative. And I think that's one thing that is going to be very important for Donnie. Once he sees it, once he gets settled in a little bit, you know, he can decide what it's going to take, because each game is a different game in baseball. I mean, the game on Wednesday might be totally different than the game on Thursday. You might have to do something totally different. So you have to be prepared for all that. But, you know, but my biggest, you know, point to him was to just make sure you're Donnie Kelly. Don't try to be somebody else all of a sudden.
And Donnie Kelly, born in Butler, played baseball in Mount Lebanon. And then, of course, Point Park was considered to be an underdog to make the majors. But then you had him play almost every position at one point in Detroit. I'm curious, what did you see in Don Kelly, the person that made you believe in him as a player?
Well, first of all, he was talented enough. You know, he wasn't a great player by any means, obviously, but he was a talented player. He had a good arm. He ran pretty good. He could play a lot of different positions. You know, in 2011, I hit him second in the fifth game of the final division series game against the Yankees, and he hit a home run his first time up in the first inning. I hit him second. He hit a home run off of Nova, who later pitched for the Pirates. But, you know, Donnie was a contributing player. He also hit a sacrifice fly in one of our closing games of the playoffs that we won. So, you know, but I think it was his ability to play all around. But the most important thing about Donnie Kelly was he came every day ready to play. Even though he wasn't a regular, he took care of himself. He ate right. He slept right. He got to the ballpark on time. He worked at his skills at a lot of different positions. You knew he was always ready. He was a manager's dream, really, because he was one of those utility-type players that was always ready to play and do anything you ask of him. And he was a very popular player on the team. You know, he was one of those guys in the clubhouse that never complained about not playing enough. You know, he never caused any waves. He was always ready, always supportive of the organization. And I think for that reason, that's one of the reasons that good things have happened for Donnie Kelly. He's just a tremendous human being. And this certainly has a nice flavor to it with him coming from Butler and being a Pittsburgher and Point Park and the whole story. It's a nice story, but the proof is going to start tonight. It's not easy. It's going to be tough. So, you know, just be yourself and let things unfold the way they're supposed to unfold and see what happens. But he's got to get the team better. There's no question about that. And the players are going to have to play better.
And then there's the challenge, too, Jim, of dealing with the analytics and then what your gut's telling you to do as a manager.
Well, there's no question about that. You know, there's some combinations that are very valuable. I think there's a lot of good stuff on the pitching side. I don't think there's as much stuff on the hitting side because it's just too difficult to hit. But, you know, there is, like I've always said, I'm old, but I'm not old school. There's some stuff out there now that's very helpful, and you just have to balance that. You have to be able to translate that to the coaches and translate it to the players. You got to be careful that you don't oversaturate them with information, because you don't want them going up there thinking about a million things when they're trying to hit or trying to pitch. So, you know, there's some valuable information out there. I think, you know, I think you use it in different ways. I think, you know, how is it going to help our team win a game? How is it going to help us develop players? And how is it going to help us find players? I think there's a lot of valuable stuff out there. I'm not blindsided by this. I think there's some very good information, but you have to be careful that you watch the game. And what is the game telling you? You can have all this information. You can plan for a game, but you can't script a game. So there's a lot of things out there that are very valuable, but you have to make sure that you don't oversaturate your players with that information.
Looking forward to his debut tonight at PNC as the Braves are in town. Jim Leland, Hall of Famer, always good to hear your voice, Skipper. Thanks for the time.
You're welcome, Larry. Thank you.
Love that.
That was real fun.
Great. Great insight into who is Don Kelly.
Yep.
Neil Walker's brother-in-law. That's who.
You know, basically, when he walks out on the field, he's just one of us, right?
Yeah. He's hard. Just like Jim said, he's
exactly.
Just an affable, hardworking young man. He's got a great opportunity and wish him well. Yesterday here at KDKA, starting with our live debate with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gady and the challenger Corey O'Connor, which, by the way, you can rewind and listen. It was a full hour, very engaging, and appreciate their willingness to come in and do that. And then just after the lunch hour, the white smoke came from the Sistine Chapel. And before we met the new Pope, an alert came out that the Pirates had changed managers. And joining us, you can see him on the radio. All you have to do is go to kdkradio.com and check out our live stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company's beat writer for the Post-Gazette, our friend Noah Hiles. Noah, good morning.
Morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. It's Friday, Mother's Day weekend. The weather's going to be spectacular tomorrow and Sunday, and we have a new manager in the midst of this big story with the Pope, obviously. The timing was curious, but it wasn't a big shock, was it?
No. Not at all. This was something that a lot of people saw coming. This is what teams do when they were in the Pirates situation. When you've had a manager for 5+ years and there hasn't been a lot of winning, and then you start the season 12-26, you make a change in the head coach. And that's what they did. Derek Shelton is out. Don Kelly replaces him as the manager for the rest of the season.
And we just spoke with Jim Leland here just a few minutes ago, because in professional baseball, he knows Don Kelly better than anybody as a player and has followed his career, and they've remained close. He said he talked to him 3 times yesterday. So he'll have plenty of support, but the bottom line, Noah, is he still has exactly the same team in terms of personnel and players, same general manager, same ownership. So it's a tall task for Don. Do you think he's going to be able to make some noise?
We'll see. I will say the one thing that Don has going for him is he's going to get the healthy addition of this roster, which Derek Shelton really didn't get this season. Nick Gonzalez and Spencer Horwitz, two projected starters who have not played hardly at all. Gonzalez played 5 innings this season after getting hurt on opening day. Horwitz was hurt arriving into spring training. Both of those guys will be back by the end of the month. This team's also going to get Jared Jones back sometime in the next couple of months. And it's going to add Bubba Chandler, who's perhaps the best minor league pitcher in the game right now. So Don Kelly's going to get a healthier version of this Pittsburgh Pirates roster, something Shelton didn't have. But will that be enough to make up for their 14 games under 500 deficit? It's hard to see that happening.
And the fact that he comes in off a 7-game losing streak, I mean, they got to win eventually, but we talked to Jim Leland. He remembered his first major league managed game, and thinking of Don Kelly, I can't imagine. On one hand, he was good friends with Derek Shelton as his bench coach for the whole time he was here, but on the other hand, part of him, I'm sure, wanted this opportunity, and here it is, and trying to make the most of it.
Yeah, how the heck could he not be excited? I mean, this was a guy who grew up a couple miles from PNC Park, Mount Lebanon kid. He's played baseball at every single level in Allegheny County, from high school to playing at Point Park to making his big league debut with the Pirates in 2007. And now he's making his managerial debut. He's only been in coaching for 6 years. 5 of them have been with the Pirates. And now in year 6 with the Pirates, he's their manager. It's a great opportunity. I'm not sure if it's one that is going to extend past this season just based off the state of the franchise right now. But this is an individual who has a very, very bright future in the world of coaching. He's going to be a manager, if not here moving forward, somewhere else. And he'll get a lot of opportunities, I think.
We're with the Post-Gazette's Noah Hiles. That said, do you think, is it possible for this Pirate team to make the playoffs
this year?
Well, it's a rhetorical question, but
yeah,
I asked it.
I don't think so. No. It'll be interesting to see what they use as a measurement for success the rest of the year, Larry, because I do think that there is a chance with a change in leadership and with a healthy roster that they can play better baseball moving forward. I mean, they're a couple of bats away, I think, from winning some of these close games that they've lost. And their pitching's going to improve as well once Jared Jones and Bubba Chandler arrive. So they're going to be a better team on paper for the rest of the season. Now, what they do with that is up to them. I don't think, they're too far away from the playoffs right now, but I think they can play a better brand of baseball for their remaining 124 games. And if they have a winning record in that stretch under Don Kelly, perhaps he earns the opportunity to stick around for 2026.
Well, all starts tonight at PNC Park as the Atlanta Braves come to town. Noah Hyles will be there for Don Kelly's first managed game with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Exciting for him and the family. I know the family well. He's a quality person, as is his wife, and her family happens to be brother Neil Walker, two other big brothers. So to the Walker family, this is exciting all the way around. So Noah, we'll read all about it. Thank you, partner.
Absolutely, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
Check him out. Noah Hyles, 45 at KDKA. From
American Catholics are celebrating the election of a Chicago native as the church's new pope. Among them, Pope Leo XIV's brother, Louis.
We just teased, you know, you're going to be the pope. You want to be the pope. Here we are today. He knew from an early stage he wanted to be a priest. And he did. Got out of grammar school, went right to the seminary.
His brother, John, how excited they must be and how shocked they must have been.
And speaking of shocks, Thursday in the crowd outside St. Peter's Basilica.
There are, of course, flags that people are waving, but there are also items that they want blessed. There was even a woman from Pittsburgh who had, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, the terrible towel, the yellow towel they wave at football games.
Oh, yeah, we know all about it. Way to go. We're going to track this woman down. Somebody has a picture posted on social media where they actually captured the moment.
It's amazing. Just a Pittsburgh connection. Oh, by the way, did you know that there was a Steelers bar right around the corner from the Vatican?
It's called La Botticella, and the owner is Giovanni Poggi, and I've been there four times.
Wow. Don Kelly is the Pirates' new skipper after the firing of Derek Shelton.
Kelly is the 48th manager in team history. He's 45 years old. He was most recently the Pirates' bench coach.
What a talent he is. You're going to find out. I think this is going to be a good thing.
He's one of us. He was born in Butler, played his high school ball at Mount Lebanon, and then played for Point Park.
And we talked to Jim Leland last half hour. Well worth dialing back with our Odyssey app to check it out or go to kdkradio.com.